All right, now it is time to bring in David Terachuk. It's time for the Media Beat. David joins us on a Friday morning. We broadcast on the weekend, also during the weekend, the noontime hour. David has his own website, themediabeat.us. He's also a PBS television correspondent. He reports on ethics and belief. And we have him with us this morning. Good morning, David.
Well, hello. Good to be joining you from the media capital of the world, New York City, which is a drizzly city today. I think if you in Connecticut are looking back on April as the record-breaking month for rain, then I think we can do the same in New York City just as much. And it's still continuing.
Not too much pokes at the sunshine, but we have things to look around in the media. I tell you, David, we call this.
Oh,
the
it's
media
been a another bright week for that. Yeah,
I have to pass along to you. Fox is on my not watch list. I watched it when Bernie was on there, but it's on my not watch list completely. I haven't watched much news because ever since Donald Trump's been elected, the news has been kind of wacky, but. CNN and MSNBC both quoted the same poll the day Joe Biden got in, saying that he all of a sudden opened up Joe Biden to 25% lead on the PAC, the Democratic PAC. Whenever I see polls posted on a major network, I always find the poll and then I go see the poll myself, the full poll. Do you realize this poll?
Very wise thing to do. This, you can't rely on the headlines anymore, can you?
You can't. The poll spoke to 500 people, not a person below the age of 50. That's not exactly...
That's a somewhat partial poll, I would say.
So I copied it off, and I sent an email to both the news director at MSNBC and at CNN. And I thought they would respond to me in some way. No response. No response. I told them...
You know, thought they would respond. Yeah, well... Keep thinking, Marshall. That's what you're good at.
It's just when you smell the smoke, David. I'm thinking there's definitely smoke coming out because there's. But it really upset me so much that now all I really watch on TV is C-SPAN and BBC America. Those are that's where I get. And there's a show on HBO called Vice. I watched a little of that. Other than that, I've just sworn off because it's just such a weird situation. This whole Donald Trump situation is so weird. But you know, it's not a Donald Trump situation; it's a Donald Trump and the media situation.
Sure, and I think you can say that the Democratic leadership, or at least not so much the leadership alone, but the Democratic leadership prompted by some of its. More hysterical membership too in office. I think one of the things that disturbing that I mean it's absolutely a story and it should be examined. Mm-hmm. The conduct of our nation's attorney general now in the aftermath of the partial publication of the prosecutor Moore's report on alleged. Collusion with Russia during the 2016 election and Trump's efforts at obstructing justice, allegedly. That whole episode that has fairly well dominated the news this week has been characterized in its coverage, certainly, by a kind of hysteria which is out of place. I mean, it's really not necessary. I think the Democrats are in really serious danger, along with their media allies combining in the effort of shooting themselves in the foot here. To go for the Attorney General William Barr in the way that they've done is of course fair game. I mean, he's got every right to do this, and he did put up a terrible show while being questioned in the Senate Judiciary hearing. But the nature of instantly going from naught to 80 miles an hour and accusing him of committing a crime in what he told the hearing is just so exaggerated that, as I say, everybody's in danger of shooting themselves in the foot here.
You know, and what I don't understand about what's happening here is Congress has oversight authority. With the proper procedures, they can get any records they want sealed. So, like they call the Gang of Eight, four Democrats and four Republicans, both in the Senate and the House, can look at all this material. So this is just blown so out of control, and it overtakes everything else that's going on in the world around.
And decry just sort of automatically, or just, as I say, rather hysterically too, for everything in that report to be unredacted is borders on the irresponsible. I mean, investigations are ongoing. There are some arguments for redaction, after all. And to say that the Attorney General has committed a crime, well, it's arguable. I suppose it's fair enough to say that. But then, you know, the real weight of the criticism is that the Attorney General is acting, Speaker Pelosi said this in exactly these words. He said that what he was doing was acting as the he's been exposed, I think was her phrase, as acting as the president's defense counsel. Well, I technically speaking and constitutionally speaking, that is wrong. We know that. But it's not hardly the first time that our nation's attorney general has acted as defense counsel to the president. That does seem to be part of the job quite often. I mean, we only have to go back. This is an instructive parallel, of course. I mean, it's a dereliction of pure constitutional duty, of course, to do this. But attorneys general in the past have done it. We can go back to Watergate, the days of Nixon. Nixon's attorney general, John Mitchell, was perpetually Nixon's personal defense counsel. I mean, that's exactly what he'd been his campaign manager. He then became his attorney general. And then, of course, he became the head of CREEP, the campaign to re-elect the president. Never has a body been so well named.
That's right.
And his absolute job was, I mean, I remember him telling my friend and colleague Carl Bernstein that if he printed the story that was going to expose the Watergate shenanigans, that Carl's publisher, Kate Graham, would get a part of her anatomy caught in a big fat ringer. I remember his threat. I mean, he was the same kind of blustery lawyer that Michael Cohen was for Trump for so long, until, of course, he turned tail and became what the president calls a rat. So sure, yeah, I mean, the terms in which the hunt is now on, and you know, in some ways, I can see that Barr is a kind of easier target for, as opposed to absolutely going the whole hog and trying to impeach the president. So perhaps it's all part of a tactic to at least look as if you're being very energetic in your opposition to this administration.
Well, I just don't know. They have the right for oversight. They can have committees as long as they want. And if it would be to their favor to slowly uncover information in between now and 2020, and have all that information slowly,
steady as you go,
come out to the public.
Hysterical, sure.
That's the whole thing. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't know how I feel about this. I do know how I feel about this, and I'm upset about it. Facebook has banned Alex Jones, Maya Yiannopoulos, and other right wing people from their platform. I'm sorry, because they're extreme views. You can edit and delete if as a moderator, but I think that their views are every bit as representable on Facebook as my view would be. I'm just this whole media thing is going crazy. It's going crazy.
I have a question to ask you.
I mean, would you ban? Yeah, the answer is going to be yes. Would you ban these people from appearing in your neighborhoods? Yes, people would, and that's crazy. I mean, everybody should be able to give their piece, and if they go over the line, yes, they get edited and they get sanctioned somehow. But banning them is never the answer.
And I've got two questions. Because first question is, Marshall, I don't know how many people know that one of your first jobs was a moderator.
I was a moderator for AOL back when AOL first started. Yes.
And how did that? I picked
2 4-hour periods a day, and I monitored conversations. you looked at conversations, and if things got out of control, you tried to correct it or stop it. And it got me free AOL at that time.
And how?
I'm sure you earned every moment of it.
Well, it was expensive back then because your phone, there was no local.
Right.
So if you didn't have free AOL,
you were charged by the minute.
They picked up the cost of whatever was on AOL, and so it was a great gig and to be there for 4 hours because you could have a split screen, but. To moderate is one thing, but to
downright... Yeah, moderating versus banning. It goes to the heart of our basic First Amendment issues. And this is always a difficult conundrum when you got extremists who swing very close to the law, to the totally illegal, but not quite. And therefore, what do you do? As I say, it's one of those fundamental questions. But I think there's a second question coming from Jill, isn't there?
There's a question for you because that was direction A. Direction B is the we seem to be suffering really and truly from a combination of the echo chamber and the fact that much of the editorial structure of, we're going to go to your hometown newspaper, for example,
New York Times, yes.
Has
the old gray lady.
The old gray lady had the, in its makeover, it knocked out some retaining walls or some structural, some I-beams. And you had a little episode of, last week with that cartoon that caused some consternation. And now you've got there's now a whole other thing which I find fascinating, which is the coverage is so clearly biased. And you used to be able to have an inclination without it being so bloody obvious.
And then the New York Times has been criticized for being so evidently, so overtly, while protesting all the time, of course, that it is consistently objective. But I think no one in their right mind would say that The New York Times was anything but a left-leaning paper, left in American terms, at least. The anti-Semitic cartoon that they carried, interpreted that way by many people, was an extraordinary piece of... it came as a surprise. I'm not sure that, given the context of that cartoon, that any great... editorial lapse was committed, but it did sort of stand out from the general flow of the New York Times's pretty well established bias towards the left in general and certainly anti-Zionist in particular, and of course that always very sort of blurry line between being anti-Zionist, or not always, but very often, blurry line between being anti-Zionist and anti-Semitic comes up all the time, and I think the general point comes up all the time. Are you entitled to ban? I ban people whose opinions are extreme, or one of the categories of people who are by the terms and conditions of Facebook and other social media platforms as well, is that if individuals constitute part of dangerous organizations or are in themselves dangerous individuals. That's a term that defies accurate definition, I would say. And it's under that category that people like Alex Jones have been banned in this new sweep by Facebook. It's highly debatable, at the least, I would say. And I share Marshall's misgivings, though at the same time, I'm very glad to see that the horrible hate spewed out by Alex Jones is now being stopped at source. Although, of course, he creeps out into other sites on the platform. He's appearing as a guest, of course, not the kind of guest I'd want at my table. But, you know, as you say, Marshall, you know, people are, I'm afraid, entitled to their opinions, even if they're disgusting and close to being, in many cases, illegal, because they provoked hate and sometimes can be said to encourage violence too.
I could forgive Facebook in the beginning because of the way it exploded, but now that it is making millions and millions of dollars in profit, there is no reason they can't reinvest $1 or $2 million a year.
Well, that's what they seem most clearly unwilling to do. Yeah. They have hired thousands and thousands of people to do the job you were doing for AOL, to do this moderating task. But of course, it's outsourced and it is underpaid and under-resourced from the beginning. People are forced to do incredibly long hours in difficult conditions without breaks, and that's the system, the human-based system that they're relying upon to have their have their output under some kind of decent publisher's oversight, and that clearly isn't enough. And of course, it's brought them to the point now of having to ban. It would be much better if they just upped and resourced much more fully a proper sense of moderating and regulating the output that comes from their own platform.
They can't. There's no way they'll ever convince me that with everything they've built. So when you go on a social media site, within minutes, even if you weren't talking about something, if you were talking about hand cream, a hand cream lotion ad will show up.
Right.
You can't tell me that if you can build computers to recognize keystrokes and information like that, that you can't, with the proper investment of money, build a system that recognizes keystrokes of hate speech that can be moderated, which means not taken down. And the author has a chance to reword it somehow. You just can't tell me that can't be done with the money that with what happens when you're on media.
Can't be done. There's just no, and that's the bit that's, you'll forgive me, asinine. And jumping back to the news for 1 second, these things that just don't even pass the lowest common sense smell test are bruited about as though they are. It's like, oh, right. And how are just people with regular brains supposed to incorporate the lunacy? You know what I mean? It's like, no wonder people are just losing their... Are getting so anxious, are getting so fatuzzed, are getting so. I mean...
It does defy belief that these very, very well funded organizations that run the social media platforms don't have the capacity to do a skillful moderating of all their output. As you say, as Marshall was saying, they do that in order to catch advertising potential. They ought to be, I'm absolutely sure that it's possible to build a system that moderates fully and across the entire board. But people's excitement about, well, that's another thing. The hysteria that accompanies this whole issue is again like the hysteria that is accompanying the it's part of what I think we would call the Trump derangement syndrome. Is all part of the tone of our media exchanges now, and it's to be regretted, but it's there, and I'm not sure we can do an awful lot about it.
I look at a company like, whatever you think about Bezos and the $180 billion profit they make, at least they were embarrassed enough to raise poor working conditions into okay working conditions at $15 an hour. But if Amazon, to its Prime members, can guarantee next day delivery on every order, if they can guarantee that with the amount of business they do, then Facebook and Twitter can spend some extra money and guarantee that everybody has the right to speak, but not the right to overspeak. That's the whole thing. And we'll see what happens. I fear that that banning will become more of the rule now across social media than editing.
Pulling the plug is certainly easier than watching carefully and intervening when needed.
And the question is, you know, come on, we can do better. It sounds almost like a slogan on a number of fronts. And I just wonder where we've talked in the past about, well, where do you go for a good, and what I mean by good is just reliable, straight out.
You go to school, and when you're in school, you learn how to read, and you learn history,
exactly right.
And you learn how to think, and that way, when you go out into society,
and you read or see or hear these things, you know what to do.
You recognize the good stuff, and you stick to it. I mean, Marshall's made his own decision. He doesn't want to watch Fox News anymore, and that's fine.
What's amazing is that he boycotted the other ones. Now, you know, it's one thing to say this bias doesn't suit.
I can say I didn't really. I watched Bernie on Fox. I will watch Shepard Smith on Fox because he is very, very broad-minded. I will watch anybody that has the courage to go on a network that is absolutely against everything they stand for just to be heard. I applaud that. So
and there are four now candidates. But now there are four candidates.
Sure, going into the lion's den is a brave thing to do, and sometimes it's a foolhardy thing to do. But either way, it's going to keep happening because everyone wants to be everywhere. That's an over exaggeration, but it's probably the slogan that will apply throughout our run up to the 2020 election. Everyone will want to be everywhere.
I'll tell you what, and CNN and MSNBC are missing something. Very, if you look deep into what they're doing at CBS News, they've hired somebody new. They're revamping and narrowing in and assigning somebody new for the 6 o'clock news and for their, and they're talking about possibly opening up some other bureaus, which is essential for news.
It wouldn't be a bad idea for CBS to attempt to recapture that reputation they did have for a while. I mean, it was a silly name they were given, silly nickname, the Tiffany Network. But they certainly have tried at certain points of their history to distinguish themselves from the run-of-the-mill networks. And for a while, at certain different whiles, they've succeeded. I was with them for a while when I think they were on a downward trajectory, I'm afraid. But they at times have been capable of reining themselves in, changing direction, and getting back to the higher standards that they used to proclaim.
Well, we'll see if that's possible. But, you know...
We will see.
I can't blame the media totally because... They've decided to cover the circus, and unfortunately, the circus appears like it's never going to leave town.
Yeah, but they're just. I'm sorry. While you know, one shouldn't blame totally. I'm still wondering where the grown-ups are because other things are happening, and there's
That's what I mean. But they've unfortunately, the media in whole has decided to follow the circus, and we get nothing but circus.
Nothing, news. And it's annoying. There's a thing going on, by the way, in your other passport. I've got 1 minute. What the heck was going on with the defense secretary over there and Huawei?
Oh, in Britain.
Yeah.
Ah,
try following that.
Well, somebody, guess what? Somebody in a cabinet meeting, or rather a meeting of the National Security Council, which is something the Brits set up fairly recently in imitation of the American administration. There was a meeting of this National Security Council, and someone, my goodness, leaked the fact that Prime Minister May was opposed by certain members of the cabinet. And it seems that, well, at least the Prime Minister is convinced that it was the Defense Secretary who was the leaker, and that alleged leaker got fired. Now he's maintaining very, very stoutly that I am not the leaker. So, you know, we may have an inquiry to discover whether he's true, he's accurate, or whether the prime minister is to be believed.
Americanism has spread.
Talk about circuses.
Yeah, talk about circuses. Try figuring it out. All right, I've been hooked. That means you're hooked. Thank you very much, David Terestruck, the Media Beat.
Thank you.
And you can join David live on a Friday morning here and rebroadcast on the weekends and during the noontime hour and all the time at On Demand, which is robertduderadio.com. Click on Media Beat with David Terestruck.